Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. The door of the Shabbat has been opened. All are welcome. All are welcome to come in within the door. The doors of the Shabbat has been opened. Hallelujah. Torah Abayah. Want to open up before I get into talking and all that, just an opening prayer. Giving honor and praise to the Most High first and foremost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you once again for opening up the door of the Shabbat. We praise, we honor, and we give thanks to you for continuing to bring us to your Shabbat, Father, for continuing to watch over, Father. Father, I ask and pray for your mercy and grace and forgiveness of your sins, Father, upon all your Israel, Father, upon my brothers and sisters here at Beth Yahweh, Father, and the whole nation of Israel, Father. May your mercy and your grace always, Father, Father, when you correct us, when we go to the left and to the right, Father, that it be your mercy and your grace, your loving commitment to bring us back to your fold, Father, that your loving hands chastise us, Father, when we go to the left and to the right, Father. Father, because like our elders say, one of our forefathers, David, Father, I'd rather for you to chastise me than man, Father. The man has not the love and commitment as you do, Father. But when we go to the left and the right, Father, that your loving hand bring us back, Father. Your love. Now, who says holy and precious name I pray? Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom, family. I'm your brother, Ariel, here once again with the second installment of Hebrew culture, Hebrew culture, and the journey we had started last week by the way of Kol Elohim. We had started the journey last week. Torah, Aki, Torah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Didn't I have to ask? See that? That's what I'm talking about. And it was already answered. Hallelujah, Torah. And we started last week with the art of war. You know, we started with the art of war. And it was going to seem like we're picking right back up from where we left off from last week with leadership. It's going to seem like that, but we're on a journey. Remember that. Remember that. And there's a thought pattern that Abba has us in until we get to the end of it, until we get to the end. And prayerfully, we all learning from, because I am. And just several thoughts that was in my mind before I get into the lesson. Even before I give the title of this week, the undertitle to the Art of War. And we will be reading out of the book of the Art of War again. In case you have it, you can go get it and you can read along with me. But we have scriptures to go through. We will read a little bit, just a little bit, in the book of Enoch tonight too, just to bring out some points. But one of the things earlier as I was meditating and thinking about Shabbat, and I was excited about Shabbat this week because, you know, it hadn't been a rough week in the sense of I lost battles, but it was a rough week, if you understand that, if you can understand. It was a rough week. It was one of those weeks where Abba kept me close to him in prayer and worship and just in his word. And sometimes he does it. He keeps us closer by the things that we go through. By the things that we go through. So he kept me close, praise, worship. My spirit was on high, but I also was being attacked the whole week. But as last week, as I told y'all, as my spiritual leader came down with the thunder, we have authority over him. We have power over him. He has nothing that we don't give him. That means that who we talking about is Satan, the devil, Allah. He don't have no power over us. So I was able to stay in praise. I was able to stay in worship. And Abba allowed me to share that when I was in my prayer and my worship, giving him thanks. Because one of the songs that I was listening to talked about the joy of your salvation, right? And we sometimes we just have to take in consideration of what that truly means. Really dig deep into that. Really open that up within yourself. Or as one of my coaches said, talk about the closet. When you go into your closet, open that up. You know, and I guess it was laid in my spirit last week when I talked to one of my Morays, Reverend Mary Allen. He told me how that he was so thankful that Abba brought him to tears where he had brought him from, his life. He just sat back and meditated on his life and where Abba, he was in tears. Not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. Because he, like he said, he come to understand he was that wretch, right? He was that wretch out there poisoning his people. But Abba turned his life around. He had his road of Damascus, as Brother Shaul turned his life around. And instead of selling poison to his people, now he's selling life. I mean, he's not selling. He's giving life to his people. So that was laid in my rock, in my spirit last week. So, which is beautiful because it was able to lay there, and when I needed, I was able to pull, or as the scripture says, that take no worry about what you need to pray for, because the spirit prays for us at times, and we don't even know why we're praying or what we're going through. It goes and it pulls from another brother that he had shared with me. So I was this week in prayer and praise to the Most High. You know, our word is real. It's true. It's true. And he allowed me to show the hurt. I mean, to see the hurt and the pain that Israel go through. The Israel of Yah, that is. The true believer, right? He allowed me to see that. He allowed me to feel the pain of Israel this week. And the ongoing battles that we have, right? The struggles of just being a believer, the war that we're in, the constant battle, the bombarding of your spirit, and you constantly keeping your guards up, and sometimes the hello, he's a good jabber. So jabs get through, and they catch you straight on, and you get dizzy. We get that. So he allowed me to feel Israel this week, which, hallelujah. And we just want to pray for Israel's steadfastness, the strength for Yah, especially not Israel, but for Beth Yahweh and the nation of Israel too, for your strength, for our steadfastness, for Abba's right hand to continue to hold us up as we do this walk. Continue, because it ain't easy. We live in the world. We go out here to work. We do all this stuff for the world. Jesus, if you can understand it, they need, but they don't want it. So Abba have set us up as his life, as his children, to be a continued reminder to the people that there is an unconditional love that exists in this world. So there's times that you had to bite your tongue. There's times that you had to take something. There's times when you wanted to say something, you didn't. You had to take the low. And you just had to deal with somebody else's crap this week. And even with our own crap, right? We had to deal with it. But again, the world needs Abba, but they don't want him. The world needs his children, but they don't want him. But Abba says that you still have to be that light. You still have to be the one that humble yourself. You still have to be the one that show love unconditional. You still have to function in all this dysfunction. And I tell you, my job is so dysfunctional. It's so dysfunctional, and I'm quite sure everybody's job is like that. With a lot of dysfunction. And you are called to be the functional one, believer. And as soon as you slide out of that role, or out of the character of Yah, that's all right. Because Abba understands. Abba is the one that's giving you that charge to be a light in this world. Not them. Not nobody else. It is Yahweh. Will you be a light for me? And sometimes it's another thing that we really have to take in consideration of what he meant when he was on that stake. I will forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, one day ask Abba, what do you really mean by, show me. Show me what you really mean by that. Forgive them, for they know not what to do. And go back and read the story, if you don't know the story. After they whipped them, after they spat on them, after he was the one that they believed in their own minds that they served him, they yelling, crucify him, crucify him. But they think they serving him. And he had enough love still within him after he took a beating. If you haven't seen The Passion of the Mashiach or The Passion of the Messiah, go watch it. Just watch that scene. And that scene don't even do it justice of how they truly treated him. It don't even do it justice. The whipping scene. Scene when they beat him. It don't do it justice of what they truly did to him. And he still had enough gall in him, had enough love in him to say, I will forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, that's heavy when you think about it. After you done been through that, after a coworker done did this to you, after somebody done lied on you, after they did it, and you got to turn around and say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I believe it was in the book of Hebrews or the book of James it says the world ain't even worthy of y'all. And I'm talking about y'all, Israel. Those who keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. He says the world is not worthy of you not to get a big head. He asks us not to ever forget why we're here, why we're working. What is the mission all about? To bring about salvation to a darker world. And we know that it's only going to be a third of the people. We know that all the people is not going to be saved. It ain't that Abba don't want all the people. Again, they need them, but they don't want them. They don't want them. So as I was in my meditation earlier and thinking about this lesson that he has me on and thinking about the door of the Shabbat. And he asked, you know what that really means? You know what that really points to? Why you say that every week? The door of the Shabbat. See, let me, and Abba, his word, know his word, right? And if his word in you, if you understand that Ruach is in you, it's going to take you through his word. To give you the answer, the question that he asked me, do you really know why you say the door of the Shabbat? I am the door. I am the door. So just to give the people a little incentive on keeping the Shabbat and why you have to come here, you have to truly lay down your burdens and rest on the Shabbat. Yahushua said, he is the door of the Shabbat. The Jesus and another. All who labor and have heavy burden, come and enter into my rest, my rest, and enter here. So this is a place where Israel can come and relax and lay down everything. If you can see the kingdom and have some understanding of the kingdom, that's what we enter into in this time right here. We're able to lay down all our burdens. Because you know what else he said? Then he ended with, because I am Adonai, master of the Shabbat. I am the door. I am the rest. I am the master of the, this is my day. Me in the beginning, who after I did all my creation, I rested on the seventh day. The same one that got up on that stake, like down. If you have burden, come into my rest. Do that. The other Shabbat. This is my day. You may understand that there are people that talk about the Lord's day, but that day is not it. Same one. He rested. He blessed it. He did all of creation. First, I mean, John 1:1 down to 3 tells us that. Information. He says, and all things were created by him. And it opens up every sunset Friday. I open it up because I am the door to the sheepfold, right? That's what he says. I am the one that lay down your burdens. What the Sabbath is supposed to be, right? So how is it that Yahushua going to tell us, lay down your burden and come into my rest? And we say he's the Lord, or the master of the Shabbat. He knew. He knew his own word. He knew why we put these. He put that there. And as he do with me, he come back. But it is on this very same day. When he returns, it will be war. It'll be a day of war. See, right now, we rest in Israel. We coming and we laying down our burden. But when he come back, the same day of rest will be a day of war. Because he said when he come back, he ain't coming back to bring peace. He's coming back with a sword. To set things straight. We can lay down our burden until HaMashiach come back, until he cracked that star on that Sabbath. Just wanted to get that out, what he was showing me this week in my praise and in my meditation to him, is the pattern of the Shamayim. And again, as we go, as a matter of fact, before I get into that, as we were talking about leadership last week, and we went through several ways of leadership, and the leadership is not just when you look at the morays, but we will get into that just for Beth Yahweh congregation. We have a system set up, not we, excuse me. Yahweh has a system set up here. You have morays here who have in these ayahs. And we're going to start with the Gabaim first, with Brother Mariel and Brother Shafutel, who are the Gabaim of Bet Yahweh, who handles all the finances of Bet Yahweh. That is what Yahweh gave to Rabbi Yakiel, to them two. Those two handle the financial part of Beth Yahweh. So that if there's any members who need anything financial or have to do with any upkeep of Beth Yahweh, Those are the two brothers that we go to. We go to Shafu'el and Brother Mario. We also have evangelists, two evangelists, which if anybody needs somebody from Beth Yahweh to go to and talk in their congregation, that will be Brother Deuel. Two evangelists for Beth Yahweh. We also have liaisons for Beth Yahweh. Those who have been talking to somebody, but they need to talk to an elder or a leader in the congregation, you have I myself, Brother Ariel, and you have Brother Yariel. You have us two as the liaisons. Anybody outside of the congregation need to talk to somebody, they do not go directly to Rabbi Yaki'el. Go to the liaisons, and we talk in between the two congregations. But also, we have a cantor, Brother Ahava, who does the prayer, who does the worship in Beth Yahweh congregation. Anything with prayer and worship, Yahweh has given it to him, so he is the one that you go to if you have those needs. Brother Ahab L. Rabbi Yaki L is the overseer of everything. He oversees all of us. Is the last that you go to. That is the system that Yahweh set up. The last that you go to. When we have our elders meeting or priest meeting, we sit down and we lay it all out to him. And if we have to go to a voting system, we'll go to the voting system. But that is how Yahweh, as Yahweh is ran. We're going to see that. Go through scriptures so we can get these things. And we also, some of the brothers wear more than one hat. Brother Yariel and Brother Shabbat are also the timekeepers. Also look and they count the moons for us. So if you have anything that's got to do with the moon, or you want to, those are the brothers that you call. They are the timekeepers. That's what Yahweh has set them up as. And as you know, they're teaching. Brother Shabbat has just taking over the new moon teaching. You know, Brother Yahweh, he has the Shabbat Eve, Shabbat morning teaching, as you could say, or the beginning of Shabbat teaching. You still have Deuel as a teacher. You still have Ahabel and Rabbi. He still do his teaching. And as myself, you know, we're here now. But there is a system of order. Because you can't have leadership without order. And we're going to see that tonight. And while we're going through this, Abba knows. But again, you have liaisons, which is me and Brother Yahweh. You need somebody to talk to out of the congregation. Our numbers are the ones we call. We have Gabai, Mariel, and Shafu'el. You need something to be ran through financially, those are the ones right there. Talk to you. You need somebody to go, somebody to teach from our congregation, you have Shabbat L, you have Deuel. Any of that is too hard for all of us. It goes to Yaki'el, which oversees it all. Because he is the one that is over the whole house of Yahweh. But there's systems. Everything has a system. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. And the pattern of the Shamaim or the pattern of Adam. Both of these scriptures tonight, the way Yahweh told Moshe, hey, make sure you make everything after a pattern. Israel's supposed to be a pattern of what's going on in the kingdom. That's how we ran. So as we go through these scriptures, then we'll be reading the book. Basically, we all align and we all will come to the order of Yahweh. The order of Yahweh. Because it's the order. It is. It's an order. And what does scripture say? Let everything be done in what? Decency and order. Let everything be done in decency and in order. Everything. It, in the kingdom, there's one fool that got, excuse me, there's one that got out of order, and he gets kicked out. Hello, Satan. He needs to give me for saying that about him, because we don't even supposed to go that far. We don't. And again, we will go with the mantra scripture. This will be my scripture, and we're going in Exodus, Shemot 15, 2 and 3. And this is what we were going to be going through for the next 4 weeks after tonight. These are my opening scriptures. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my Elohim, and I will praise him, my Father, Yah. Father's Elohim, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. And again, we're talking about the art of war. And if you understood that we were talking even earlier, they are war tactics when we go through these things. And who is going to, who is, sometimes I will allow Satan to attack us. We know that from the book of Job. So sometimes we go through things, it ain't just because we're going through something. Sometimes it's Yahweh wants us to learn us and a lesson out of it. Some of us have to go through that same lesson more than others, because some of us, like myself, is just hard-headed. We got to learn that lesson over and over again. We have to keep going through the same thing, because we have not learned that one lesson. But it's Abba Yah, he is trying to fine-tune us. He is trying to make us his precious jewels so he can see his reflection in us. In essence, he wants to see himself in us. Period. He wants to see himself in us. He wants to see us operating little Yahwehs, so to speak, down here on earth, or little Yahushua's down here on earth. Because trust and believe, it ain't us that's being saved. It's that spirit that he gave us that we are developing, that we're nourishing, and it grows to a full. So he won't have a whole bunch of Yahushua mending with our spirit. But let me go here, because we're going to get this gig tonight, and I'm not going to do too much talking. So let's go to Matthew. Because, again, we're talking about a pattern, right? We're talking about as it is in heaven, he on earth. The same thing. This is what they will call the master's prayer. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Okay, just a little bit. Let your will be done. As your will is in heaven, Father, let it be also on earth. As that one part in mind, just in case you got pricked in these last 3 minutes while I was talking or while Yahweh was talking. Keep that part right there in mind, believers, children of Israel. Let your will be done as it is in heaven. On earth, this is the master. This is the one that we say is my Lord and my Savior. Giving my life over to him. The one that says, as your will is in heaven, let it also be in earth. pattern is in heaven, as your order in heaven, let it also be. People don't even understand, let your kingdom come, because they don't even want to abide by his rules. Abide by pick and choose, as my brother would say, smorgasbord his rules. We do that when the kingdom comes. And we should be striving now to live by all possibly can, to do our very best. Will we mess up? Yes. Can we get to perfection? Yes, we can. The more you do a thing, the more you practice a thing, the more you move yourself out of the way, we can be perfected in what we do. Just take anything that you have ever done in your life, and you'll be perfected in it. You have done for a long time that you take pride in doing. You have perfected that thing in your life. You have become, as what we talk about, an artist in that. And for me, that's driving. That's driving. For the average person, when accidents happen and cars is going at a high speed, it doesn't bother me. At that point is when I get the most calmest and I'm able to see which way do I have to get out, do I have to slam on the brakes, or can I just gently tap the brakes to slow it down? I'm reading this person and that person because I have done a thing for so long. I have perfected it. Same thing we can do with the Torah. We can perfect it. Hey, and here's the beauty of it. Even the priest, when he speak it out of his mouth, I'm going to hold it for him. He's going to hold him to that. So I ain't speaking as if I'm on the other side. Ah, y'all, we. No, I'm over there with y'all. I'm getting the lesson as it goes. That out your mouth. Remember, that's what Abba gonna tell me. Whenever I do what I was supposed to do, whenever I'm acting like it's too hard or I just don't want to conform to that, remember you said out your mouth, you can perfect. The more of the priest that's teaching is not getting the lesson. They're getting the lesson at the same time y'all getting the lesson. We all getting the lesson at the same time. I pray we understand that and believe that. Understand that and believe that. Well, let's look at a few patterns, a few things. Let's go through these scriptures, and we're going to just look at some scriptures and read some scriptures about some patterns. So my first one is in Joshua 5. Joshua 5, which Yahushua ben Nun. The book of Joshua, chapter 5, starting at 13. Excuse me. When Yahushua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood in front of him with his sword drawn in his hands. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are for our enemies?" Again, just listen as you read along, as you hear him. He sees a man, Joshua, with his sword drawn. First question is, if the person got his sword drawn, what are you doing? Hey, brother, are you for us or are you against us? You over here for our enemies. You in the fighting stance. You got your sword. You even got your sword drawn. You in the fighting stance with the sword. If you ever have the sword, you ain't just got it hanging out like these kids today. They don't understand the technique of holding a sword. This brother has his sword drawn to the point that the other brother had to ask, are you with us or are you forgiven against us? Right? And he had to be like, hey, and listen to what the brother said. He said, no, the one that's in the stance, the one that has his sword drawn, right? But I have come now as a commander of Yahweh's army. That's it. Listen. He said, no. But I have come now as a commander of Yahweh's army. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and asked him, what does my master say to his servant? So he's ready to get some orders. Commander, Yahweh's army. So when the brothers teach him through the week, when they bring out these words that Abijah is giving them, commandments, they are bringing, they are getting words from Yahweh. And another thing, Yahweh, before we go on, another thing that when I was meditating on them, I was just, because we're going to get this, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we go to it anyway. I'm going to speak as we come upon it. Just thinking about the course here in Beth Yahweh, the different courses with the different priests, right? And what we was thinking about is the art of war and karate, right? Because if you understand the book, that's what the whole book is about. The book is about karate, right? The book is about the martial arts and different techniques with the martial arts. And that's what Yahweh was showing me about the Morais. That's why all the Morais speak different. There may be similarities with some of us. There may be. And for the most part, we all speak the same thing. We all speak the same thing. But there are different techniques that Yahweh is teaching us as a family to go through things. This brother Yahweh is bringing out a technique. That technique may be the fear of Yahweh, how he delivers the word, Shabbat, how he delivers Yahweh, Jehuel, Yahkeel. They all have different techniques. And at the end of the day, what we become is well-rounded believers. Because Abba Yah is using all our different experiences, all our different personalities, and he's making it one. He's bringing it all together because we're all being led by his spirit. So we all learn different techniques with the word of Yahweh. And if you listen to your brothers, they all can bring out something that we all use in another way. Like you would hear many brothers say about the smorgasbord of the word. Why? Because Yahweh gave that to Brother Shabbat years ago. So that was a technique that he gave him. And you would hear even what Brother Yahweh had told me years ago. He said the Sabbath is the day in between the days. So when I talk to people, I use that because Yahweh has gave that to him. And people, that would, for me, that makes people think. Like, what you mean the day in between Friday and Saturday? That's what the Sabbath is. That's what I remember the brother telling me years ago. That's what the Sabbath is. The day between Friday and Saturday. And that's going to make somebody think, hold up, is the day between Friday and Saturday? I never knew it was the day between. Yes, it is. But the day, if you believe it, is invisible, but it's there. And there's a door opening on that day in between Friday and Saturday. And so many other things that you have learned from your Marines, so many other techniques. Because remember, we are in war. We are in war. A war that we in. Yes, it's called Ezekiel 37, and it talks about the dry bones. But at the end of the dry bones, when he brings Israel together, it says, and it was exceedingly great army, an exceedingly great marching band. Say that. An exceedingly great army. Keep the army together, Abba. Right now, we're reading that somebody is the commander. In other scriptures, it says the captain of Yahweh's army. It says the commander of Yahweh's army. The commander. I like that one better than a captain, because a commander is higher than a captain. Commander, only thing over top of the captain is the commander is the chief. Like, we know what I'm saying. The commander in chief with our president is, but We had a commander and we had a chief. But right now, Yahushua is the commander of the army. And the chief is giving everything to the commander to run everything. He is running everything right now. But we all are bringing different techniques to this war so we can all be, at the end of the day, well-rounded believers. Well, because that's what Abba wants. He wants well-rounded believers. Because every time you talk to another person, you're not just talking to them, but you're talking to their spirit. And their spirit has unclean spirit attached to it that's giving them wisdom as you talk to them. So sometimes it comes to a stalemate. Neither one of y'all can gain footing on each other. Just like when Brother Daniel prayed 21 days and the angel said, I was held up by another angel until Gabriel, Michael, one of them came and freed him. And sometimes there's a stalemate. But Abba, with us, he's getting us well-rounded. That's why he gave us these different marades so we could all put it all together. And when it comes to fighting or sparring with somebody, defend ourselves or defend the word of Yahweh and even strike blows. Not always to kill. Not always. 15th time. The prince of Yahweh's army said, the prince of Yahweh's army said to Yahushua, take off your shoes. Yahushua did so. And Yahweh gave me a revelation. When I called my rabbi about that one, I had called my rabbi about that, hallelujah, and I had to tell him about that revelation that he showed me, and he was like, yeah, I know that already. I was like, what? And I even called Brother Harvell, and we were talking about it. Yeah, man, you know that? Because a minute time, when we read, we cut it off. We cut the thought off. But obviously, keep reading. We ain't going to keep reading tonight. Just maybe another brother bring that out. But it's just another manifestation of Yahweh in the flesh. Another manifestation of Yahweh in the flesh. This commander of his army. This one right here. But you got to keep reading. You got to go into 6. When you get time, go into 6. So let's go into Exodus, Shemot. 25:40, we're just going to read one scripture, and we're going to move from here to Hebrews 8 and just trying to show something. 25:40, and if you start at the top, you'll see where the thought comes from and what Yahweh, because he's setting up the tabernacle, the thought of this whole chapter right here. But if the whole tabernacle is in New York, 25:40, see that thou make them after their pattern, which have been shown to you on the mount, right? Everything that Israel does, it's a pattern of what goes on in the heavens. It's a pattern. Malachim is messengers. His priests are messengers. Pattern. Israel, you represent the Most High. You bring the kingdom of Yah here on earth. Do you want the smorgasbord, the kingdom, or do you want to bring all of it here on earth? Coming, whether we want to or not. Coming. We have it. And we ain't going to be up there. The scripture says Yahushua coming down the hill. This will be the kingdom of Yah. All this right here. One man. Right, family. We need a farm. Who served a copy and shadow of heavenly things, even as Moses was warned by Elohim when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see, you shall make everything according to the pattern that which was shown to you on the mountain. This is just a witness for us, but go to the top of it again, who serve as a copy of the shadow of heavenly things. That's what we are, Israel. We are a copy of the heavens. Came down, he set that up. To open up the heavens even more to Israel. As much as Moshe can do, right? But we know, if you even read in the same chapter, but about the flesh was weak, we couldn't understand the kingdom of heaven. We couldn't fathom that we're supposed to represent the kingdom of heaven. We got big-headed. We got hardy. That's what Israel got. Our neck got stiff, right? And instead of wanting to be a replica or a copy of the kingdom, we wanted to be the kingdom. Instead of being happy in the position that he had, hey, get my throne up there beside yours. I'm going to be just like you. That's no different, Israel. No different. We did the exact same thing. Some of us, that is. Had to keep a remnant who want to keep to be of the heavens in everything. But again, and we don't want to keep beating this right here, because we've been beating it up many times. But when you see Israel rising today, they don't understand that. What they supposed to be. They don't understand that across the board. What we are supposed to be a replica of. A replica of. I know a congregation real quick that says, no, I don't go through the Torah every week. I don't teach the Torah every week. He just come off the cuff with a lesson every week. Well, how you gonna know about the law, statutes, and judgment if you don't go through them every week? They had a little incident in the book of Acts. We just came through it here in Beth Yahweh. So they had to go on the Sabbath, and the Gentiles was learning these things, and some of the Jews didn't want them to learn everything. They make the whole story short. And the leader at that time of the assembly, look, you know what? This is my judgment. He allowed the brothers to argue back and forth their point. What I was talking about earlier, where Yaqiel stands in that, where the two brothers, if they had a point to argue, they would argue their point. Yaqiel would give his decision on it. Under Yahushua, that right there still stands today. But Israel, look at that. Hey, ain't no Saul. Ain't no man going to run that like that. Not understanding that's Israel. That is Israel. And I can't say it enough. He ain't getting that type of power. Yes, he is. His power, the power of Yah, the power of Yahushua. He told Kepha in them, whatever you're bound on heaven, or whatever you loose on earth, or whatever you're bound on earth, we will do the same for you up here. We're going to do the same, because you will give them something. Israel do not understand who they represent, who they supposed to be. They don't understand it. I'll be raising them up. He has been training them. Them brothers been in the dojo for a while now. Some brothers 20, 30 years. 10, 15 years in the dojo, right? Their art, their techniques have been honing. And that's that spirit that dwells within all of them. That's that spirit. Let me move on. Let me finish the door. And he gave four things. As his sentence, as his judgment. He gave four things. He said, because Moses is taught every Shabbat day, giving the indication to us as Bible students that they teach Torah every Shabbat. There is a portion of the day of the Shabbat that Torah has been taught. throughout the history of Israel, throughout the history. So if you're not doing it as a congregation, how do you know what you should do and what you shouldn't do? The most important thing is, how will you maintain your salvation? Because, again, it's a free gift, but you have to maintain it. You have to maintain it. And another thought comes, but I'm not going there because I'm going to get through this lesson. So, okay, let's move on, family. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Chapter 28, and we're going to start reading 9 through 13. 9 through 13. You, Solomon, my son, and know the mighty one of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Yahweh searches all hearts and understands all the imagination of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off. Again, do we want the whole kingdom? Do we want a smorgasbord? If we want a smorgasbord, Yahweh know everything. He knows everything. But again, as we talked earlier, that may be some of us who learn slow. Put it like that. We may learn slow, or as my mother used to tell me when I was a kid, a hard head make it soft behind. I never understood that till I got older. A hard head make it soft behind. He used to tell me that all the time. Take heed now, for Yahweh has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Shlomo, his son, the plans for the porch of the temple, for its house, for its treasury, for its upper room, inner room, for the place of the mercy seat, and the plans of all that he had by the Spirit. Read it again. And the plans of all that he had by the Spirit for the courts of Yahweh's house, for all the surrounding rooms, for the treasures of Yah's house, and for the treasures of the dedicated things. Also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of Yahweh's house, and for all the vessels of service in Yahweh's house. He got everything by the Spirit of Yahweh. No different than Moshe. Changes. He's doing something different right now. Moshe didn't give a call to the priest. He is given something by the Spirit of Yahweh. They point to something. Let's move down, same chapter. Let's go to 19 and 20. And we're going to finish with that. 19, the same chapter. All this, said David, I have been made to understand in writing from Yahweh's hands, even all the work of this pattern. Yahweh gave him another pattern. Same thing he gave Moshe, but it changed a little something with David, with the king. We know who David points to. We know he points to Yahushua, but this king, he's a warrior, he's a singer, he's a dancer, he's a poet, he does it all. But most importantly, he's a warrior. We understand, we know the songs about Shaul and David killed his hundreds, I believe, and David killed his thousands. Because he was a warrior king. The warrior king is coming back, y'all. The warrior king is coming back. He's coming back. Yahushua HaMashiach will be back. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Amen? Amen. But David is giving a priest a course We don't know or understand that the dream that our forefather Jacob had when he slept on the rock, and the dream came, and he saw angels going up and down. They had courses. They were some going up and some going down. They were changing shifts because they was courses of the angels. Why did you make your Levites, your priests, the same as you've given to the angels? What are we to learn from that? I'm coming with that answer. Yahweh gave him something to Israel. I can't say it, but Yahweh gave him something to Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came with that answer. Priesthood necessary in these days. Hallelujah. Hey, a pattern. But well, you know what somebody's going to pull out there behind. We know it. We always got them scoffers. That, again, when your mind moves like that, that's that technique. You're moving from one stance to another. I remember that, Brother Ari, you teaching us that, just a little bit that I got. And all the karate movies I watched my whole life when I was a kid, your stance is very important, right? But when you get those thoughts, that means you shifted. Your stance shift because somebody trying to come another way. And you know they trying to come away. We ain't under the Levitical priesthood no more. We under Melchizedek right now. But what you think the Levitical priesthood is a pattern of? What you think is a pattern of? One thing that the Melchizedek shows different than the Levitical priesthood. You do not have to strictly come out of the Levites. Anybody throughout the 12 tribes, under Yahushua. That's the difference. That is the difference. But everything else, what you think that the Levitical priesthood is a pattern of. Why does the scripture say that the Levites paid tithes in the loins of Abraham? See, they may have some technique, but ain't nobody able to stand against Yahweh or Yahushua. Nobody. Lord, I just love to see those brothers and sisters that can do martial arts because it's fluent. Boom, that's how the spirit moves within you. It moves fluent. That's why I can't wait till we get a congregation, because you will be able to, a building, you'll be able to see that spirit moving on people. You'll see sneaks moving. And even sometimes you'll see them when they want, right? Up there. You'll see it. Because their eyes will get big. They'll get excited when Yahweh has spoken to them. That means their technique can move and y'all in motion together. It's like a good sparring match, right? Not trying to hurt one another, you get sparring. Well, it's good to say on, sharpens on. Right? Let's go on, family. Enoch. Let's go on to Enoch. I don't even know where I have to read Enoch. Because Enoch is, we're going to read Enoch. We're going to read Enoch. We're going to go there just real quick. Let's go on there, so we're going to read him. And I'm right here, too. Enoch chapter 7, 1 through 9, and this is the story of the righteous, and what the thought behind this is to show that there are leadership, there are ranks, even in the heavens. No different, and we're going to read the ranks that's here on earth, too, and we have went through a few, but we're going to read the ranks that's in heaven. And no, they haven't stopped. Just because these brothers or these angels had went against the will of Yahweh and they got cast in prison, it didn't stop. The order, the army of Yahweh is still have ranks, still in order up there. We go through and you just look in, if you don't know, when it says the Lord of hosts, just go and look that up. The Lord of hosts throughout the scriptures. And it's talking about, it will say, Yahweh of armies. Yahweh Zebaoth. Yahweh of armies. So then, if you got an army, you got to have rank. You got to have leadership. Everybody can't be in leadership. Everybody ain't just smirking out order. And it has to be, most importantly, order. Or we'll be in dysfunction. And we know who kingdom rules and works in dysfunction, organized chaos. That's not Yahweh. That's his adversary, Allah, Satan. Yahweh moves in function, not dysfunction. It moves in order. So let's read 1-9 real quick, family, in the book of Enoch. It happened after the sons of men had multiplied in those days that the daughters were born to them elegant and beautiful. And when the angels, the sons of heaven, beheld them, they became enamored of them, saying to each other, come, let us select for ourselves wives from the pregnancy of men, and let us beget children. Then their leader, Samaza, and said to them, I fear that you may perhaps be indisposed to the performance of this enterprise. In other words, hey, I don't believe y'all committed to doing what we were talking about doing. And him being a leader, saying that, this is in essence what he's saying to those who underneath him, his subordinates, I don't believe y'all fully committed. Right? And listen to how he talked to him. Y'all not fully committed. Hey, we saw that. They found. We want to be with them. Y'all know we're going against our father, but are y'all really committed to doing this thing? And that's what he said. But they answered him and said, we all swear, we want that. Some cause of that. We want that. Yeah, we all committed to doing this deed that we don't supposed to be doing. And bound ourselves by a mutual execration that we will not change our intention but execute our project. Our project undertaking. And in other words, again, hey, let's make an oath right here, right now. Whatever we got to do, let's make something that an oath, an agreement to bind all of us that we're going to do this thing. Ain't no turning back now. 7. Then they swore all together and all bound themselves by a mutual execration. Their whole number was 200 who descended upon Abias, which is the top of the Mount Ammon. The Mount Ammon. The mountain, therefore, was called Ammon because they had sworn upon it and bound themselves by a mutual execration. These are the names of the chief, Kemkaiah, who was the leader, their leader. I'm going to tell his name up. On Burrell, I didn't say it, Akiabel, Chimel, Ramiel, Daniel, Ezekiel, Sirachanel, Azrael, Batael, Anan, Zibi, Tensi, Terrell, Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam-Yam- These were the perfect of the 200 angels, and remainder were with them all. I mean, all with them. So in other words, they had 200 angels under them, and the 11 brothers that I just, the 11 angels was over top of all of them. So they all had leadership and rank over all, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me go back and just showing that there is rank, leadership in the heavens. And what we're talking about, the pattern of the Shamayim. Israel is the pattern of the heavens. They have leadership. They have subordinates, everything. Same thing Yahweh said to us. Same thing that we read, a lot of us have been reading our whole life. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it in heaven and on earth. Let it be on earth as well. So one more scripture before we get into the book of the Art of War, and that is Exodus 18, Shemot 18, 19 through 27. You know, I read this before too. And this is the backstory of this. This is when Moses was judging the people, and the people was bringing problems to Moses all day long. His father-in-law, Jethro, saw something, and by the Spirit of Yahweh spoke. And this is what he said, and Yahweh agreed to it. And so we know it was by the Spirit that this is the pattern. Shemot 18:19. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and Yah be with you. You represent the people before Elohim and bring the causes to Elohim. You shall teach them the statutes and the Torah and shall show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men which fear Elohim, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them, to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So shall it be easier for you, and they shall be they shall share the load with you, amen, and they shall share the load with you. If you will do these things and Yah commands you so, then you will be able to endure. And all these people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses told able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifty, and rulers of ten. They judged the people at all times. They brought the hard causes to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. That order right there was set up for Israel at the very beginning. At the very beginning, that order was set up for Israel at the very beginning. And here at Beth Yahweh, we are trying to be the pattern. We are trying to be what called us to be. And Abba has set up a leadership again. Matters do not have to go directly to Yahweh, but as the moray or as whatever matter you have, they all call him and let them know what's going on, because he is the head, like James was in the book of Acts, or Yaakov, his teammate. So the matter will go to him, but it will not go directly to him, because there is an order that Abba has set up. Meetings take place, and each person in their position, the Gabbaim will say, this is taking place in the congregation. The liaisons will say, well, I had to talk to this person this week. And so on. Brother Harbaugh will say, this is what Abba has given me for worship. And it will go to him. All is still going to him. But there is an order. If in the heavens, so shall it be here on earth. A replica of the heavens. Cannot keep smorgasbording the word. Take it all. We have to take it all at what we can do. And trust me, we're going to need this order. We're going to need this order in the coming days. And as I believe, again, what was brought out last week, there are other leadership roles. There were princes also in Israel. There are other leadership roles inside of the congregation. There are. We brought that out last week. Hopefully I haven't got to go over it again. We brought that out. Abba has given others something to do under the leadership of the Marais and Brother Yaqiel, first and foremost, in that order of Yahweh. Again, first and foremost, in the order of Yahweh. Not the order of man, in the order of Yahweh. That's word. We just read it. Not either we can accept it, or again, we're going to let it prick us. And we're going to learn hard. But we want to learn. We don't want to be like old Sean Kelly. His mother used to say, a hard head makes it soft for hard. Abba said the same thing to us. He said the same thing. We call us hard-headed and stiff-necked, as we call it. We call it. And this is not that long, family. The book five was within the book of war, the art of war. This is not that long. So maybe a couple of pages, but I'm going to read it again. If you're reading along and your book says warlord, I'm going to say leader. It is important for the leader to manage all his resources by maintaining personal control over them. And again, hear Yahushua and hear your enemy. Hear how your enemy works as well. Because he said we should not be ignorant of Halal's devices. And they spoke. It is important for the leader to manage all his resources by maintaining a personal control over them. He may delegate authority in certain respects, but it is still primarily responsible for his own welfare. It does not matter if there are many affairs to control or if there are few. He manages and controls his own destiny. All is controlled with ease or difficulty depending on his desire, and this will be determined by his understanding of the organization of heaven. Amen. Management of resources is done by assessing the correct task to his staff. Again, let me read that again because we just read that description. Management of resources is done by assessing the correct task to his staff with the assurance that those charged are able to accomplish his desires. This is called delegating with intelligence and authority, and can only be successful if the leader knows the capabilities of his men. He must also know their limitations. A leader manages his aides in each aspect of his administration. He does not concern himself with the men that his aides command. If the leader depends on five generals for the completion of the task of his orders, and those generals have 10 captains reporting to them, then the many are controlled by the one through the few. And remember, who is the general? Who is the commander? Yahushua. He knows this and uses to his advantage. The leader chief can control everything, leaving him free to deal with the further development of the empire or kingdom, only if they have been chosen with care and thought to overall goal of the enterprise. It is essential to maintain structure. The chain of command, for without it, nothing will function harmoniously. When all is in harmony, the army can withstand natural attacks. Let me say that again. Let's think about, not just think about harmony and order. Order. All is in harmony or in order, the army can withstand natural attacks and those that appear to be supernatural. This ability is maintained through correct administration, the proper management of men. Let me just read. I'm not going to say everything that comes to my mind. When functioning in proper order, an army can make an enemy think that attacks are not what they appear to be. This is reinforced even further in the organization that has proper training and practice. All things that exist have a multitude of variations, some subtle and some not so subtle. With only limited tones and a musical scale and red and blue and green on the palette, combinations of melodies and colors become infinite. The principles are the same when the leader administers his court or applies methods to defeating an enemy. The possibilities are endless under heaven. That is why each must be carefully measured and considered and bottled. As everywhere else, combinations of natural and supernatural forces are infinite and cannot be comprehended with ease. The method to be used are unformidable as the ideas that govern existence. And when applied with full force and authority, they cannot be stopped. When the leader is skilled in the ways of war, his attacks are thorough, and he is relentless until the goal is achieved. Heaven sees the meaning in his desires and will itself insist that he attain his goal. His timing is perfect. His reasoning is perfect. His resources are perfect. His desires are perfect. All things under heaven are in accord with his thinking because of the planning for victory. Shemar, family, just hear the scriptures. Here. Still, no guarantee he will succeed if he only intellectually convinced of victory. He must be convinced of it to the very depth of his soul. Planning is his form of demand, and heaven, when he is acknowledged by it, will assist to the end of the universe. The leader will attain the great fortune in war, but if he is not sincere, heaven will know that he knows your heart, right? He knows your heart. Heaven will know that too and will not assist him. He will fail and will take down those who believe in him as well. It must be understood to deprive action are significant in war. Organization will indicate if the leader is entered the place of war with correct action or if he is functioning in chaos. The same attitude of organization will also determine the bravery or cowardice of his men in circumstance, and their belief will be indicated by right action or weakness in battle by the same heaven that governs the leader. When the leader is strong, he makes the enemy move well and when he wants him to move and keep them still when he wants them still. Controlling his own destiny, he will influence the enemy at will by operating under the providence of heaven. Hallelujah. A skilled leader does not depend on his subordinates to wrest victory and profit. Proper planning is what rules the day. With proper organization and intelligent delegation of responsibility, he takes control of his destiny. He does not rely on subordinates to explain failure to him. He guarantees his own success by demanding it of himself. Amen. When the leader has given his heart to preparation for victory, he is not surprised when it comes, because his success appears to be divinely guided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is the end of that. I told you it wasn't long, but if you can hear the word of Yahweh all through it, you can hear what we talked about all night long. One more scripture to go to, family, and that is in 2 Corinthians. And chapter 10, I'm going to start at 1 and read all the way down, because I like the whole thought. I like the whole thought of it. 1 through 6, family. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the humility and gentleness of Mashiach, for Yahushua. I, who in your presence, am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. Yes, I beg you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence which I intend to be bold against some who consider us to be walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For we are in war. We are at war. Shaul is trying to convey this to the Corinthians and to us. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty before Yah, to the throwing down of strongholds, throwing down imagination and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing everything, into captivity to the obedience of Mashiach. That right there needs some meditation. This scripture right here, that right thought right here, bringing every thought. Praise. That little clause right there needs great meditation. What do we mean by that? You mean to tell me I can take something spirit and I can capture it? Captive it? I can do that? I don't have to let every thought come to my mind. I can bring it to subjection under Yahushua. Thoughts that come to our mind and dispel them. That's what he's saying. We have the ability to do that. Coming directly from Allah, and some of them are coming from us. Either way, we have the ability to capture them. Come under subjection to Yahushua HaMashiach. We do not have to allow everything coming to our spirit, our minds. Within us. We can uproot these, because they get in sometimes. We hear it, they get in. We got to go in, we got to find it, we got to uproot it. Spell it under the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Well, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Let me read 5 again. Throwing down imagination and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of Yah, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Mashiach, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your disobedience will be made full. We have the power to revenge all disobedience when yours is brought to a full. Right? When ours is. When ours is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the end of tonight's blog talk, family. Let me go and read closing benediction and give the prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for your word tonight, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we ask and pray that your word do what it's supposed to do, Father. You said your word will not return unto your word, Father. Father, we ask and pray that we all stay the ground, Father. Who heard this tonight, Father. That there be no harm, there's no way, Father. That that old adversary is coming and whispering, that they pull them forth down, that they guard their gates, Abba Yah, so we can be replicas of the kingdom of heaven. We can be walking, talking, Shamayim. Right? When people meet us, they let us know. You ain't here from you. You don't belong here on earth. Something different about you. The man talked about UFOs, unidentified objects, and that's what you are. That's what your spirit is within us. Let them understand it because it's different. So we walk in power, Abba Yah, able to bind each and every unclean spirit that come to us, Father, that you give us that power. Walk in that. I'm going to be my father. That we be Aya Asha Aya to everyone who needs us, Abba Yah. We understand who we are. We are Yahushua. And Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Abba Yah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisra'ah.
Suffering violence and the violence. you